Shalom, precious saints of God. This is Reverend Sheila Crawford, and I warmly welcome you to the Shofar Ministries program. Well, tonight's message has been pre-recorded yesterday due to a scheduling conflict, so I don't know who won in Israel's election, but by now you probably do. So next week we will discuss the outcome and how it affects the end time scenario, along with what has just occurred on, or will occur, on March 20th. But let me say this, you must know by now that there is concrete evidence that Washington has used our tax dollars to try to oust Prime Minister Netanyahu. Yes, President Obama's campaign manager, Jeremy Byrd, has been working intensely with a group called One Voice alongside Israel's far leftist group called V15. The V stands for victory. Yes, we have been helping to fund their press releases, their digital ads, the billboards, phone calls, and door-to-door canvassing by micro-targeting Israeli Arabs and certain groups to encourage them to get out and vote for the far-left Progressive Labor Party. This is unprecedented. And as of yesterday, they were making pretty good progress. With that said, let us never forget who really chooses the kings. God gives the people whom they deserve and who will fulfill his prophecies. Oh, and I thought almost laughable, if not sad, is that the major contender, Mr. Herzog's major campaign slogan is that they're the party of change. And that is scary. I've heard that before. But judgment is coming to Israel too, and perhaps Herzog better fulfills these times of change. Get what I'm saying? I think you do. So much more on this, of course, we will talk next week. Oh, and a favorite question of yours that came in over the week was, do I think Hillary will have to turn over her server so they can properly retrieve and read all her emails? The answer is probably not, for she too has friends in high places. But knowing that, also know that Hillary and President Obama do not get along. And it is rumored that the White House, particularly the Iranian Valerie Jarrett, who is Obama's right-hand advisor, actually leaked information that set Hillary up. For they really don't want her to be president. They say that even though she's, we all know, pretty corrupt, she's still not far enough to the left as they want, so to carry out Obama's legacy. But then some also say, should chaos erupt, and most of us are pretty sure it will, Obama will be declaring martial law and not going anywhere. What was also pretty disgusting, as well as her erased emails, is all the millions of dollars her foundation took in as bribe money from the Muslim countries. And you might have also heard about the radiation physics CERN project that actually ramps up protons at an alarming speed, increasing them till they collide and explode. Scientists are hoping to produce the same kind of particles that were present at the creation, or what they call the Big Bang. But do your own study on this. Just do a web search on the letters CERN. Lots of information on this. Just so much going on, along with the blood moons and this year's solar eclipses. One will be seen in Israel this Friday, which just also happens to be Israel's new year on their religious calendar. And as well, their Sabbath begins at sundown. Now, remember Joel 2:31, I quoted a lot, but he says not only will there be a blood moon, but also a darkened sun before the day of the Lord begins. Now, the word before in this Hebrew text is panim, which means at the forefront. Now, in reality, that should spiritually energize you. And if it doesn't, you better get saved. Now, without further delay, I'd like to ask my husband, Dan, to open tonight's program in prayer.
Okay, thank you, honey. Wow, this could be an amazing year.
I know.
Okay, Abba, Father, we highly praise you and ask for your blessing tonight as we lift up to your throne the specific prayer request recently given to us, as well as the prayers of those listening right now, especially your saints who are suffering with severe diseases. We know you always hear the prayers of the righteous, and we thank you for your promise to carry us through all our afflictions. And may this teaching tonight be to your glory as we continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As we anxiously await your trumpet call, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, you know, we really do want your end-time questions, and we'll base much of the program's future teachings on what you really want to hear. So, honey, could you tell our listeners how they can send us their questions or comments or even donations?
Yes. There are three ways to do this. You can email to Sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Again, that's 440-834-9006, or by snail mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And, of course, we always appreciate your much-needed love offerings, which also can be made on our webpage at shofarministries.net. And a reminder, all of the programs are archived on our webpage as well as the newsletters.
That's right. Okay, I want to get started because time goes fast, but God instituted and Moses recorded in the Torah, in Leviticus 23, seven major appointments with his righteous ones. Now, the word for feast, which is moed in Hebrew, actually means appointment. So let me rephrase. God made seven appointments with his people that the Messiah would keep. And in fact, Dan, could you please read Leviticus 23, verse 2?
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feast, my appointments.
That's right, because the word for feast is appointments. And the Hebrew word is moed, and that's exactly what's used. Now, the word for convocation is mikra, and that just means rehearsal gatherings, actually. So, since hindsight is 2020, we know that Jesus has, in fact, kept the first four of those appointments, literally and openly, for all to see at the time of his first coming. So obviously, since we are born-again Bible believers, we know he will personally keep and are anticipating him fulfilling the last three appointments as well, which are Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot in Hebrew. And these all occur in the fall season. And you know, even James in chapter 5 makes reference to the fact that Jesus, just like when the main harvest of the fruits come in, he will return in this season as well. So, his spring feasts are the first four surrounding his first coming as a servant to pay for our sins, should you choose to accept your free gift. And, of course, that's called Passover, which was the blood sacrifice. Then you have unleavened bread, which is his burial. And then you have Feast of First Fruits, for he was the first fruits of the resurrection, which we'll cover probably next week. And then 50 days later, we have the Feast of Pentecost, when he sent the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. And again, we'll talk about that probably in a couple of weeks. But Passover this year, which begins on April 3rd, on our Gregorian calendar, is Nisan 14 or Aviv 14 always that date on the Hebrew calendar. Now, historically, they put the blood of a sinless lamb on the doorpost in Egypt. You all know the story. And, of course, this is Israel's deliverance from Pharaoh. And you can read about that in Exodus 12. Later, Jesus, too, fulfilled that appointment himself personally with his death and his sinless blood on a cross. And again, both happened on Nisan 14. So he kept the appointment of Passover. You know, Passover is an amazing, powerful miracle. And it's all been set up by God, scene by scene, line by line, and word by word. The right timing, the right places, and all the right people. In fact, every account in the Bible is true, literal, and accurate to the T. So again, on the first Passover in Egypt, the Hebrews applied the blood of a perfect, unblemished lamb to their doorposts, encircling it totally, even with the basin of the blood left sitting at the threshold. So it was definitely all surrounding. Now, the first Passover was such an important typologically spiritual event that God even told Moses to change the seventh month they were in, called Nisan, to their biblical first month. So now they would have two calendars. This new religious calendar with their regular civil calendar that begins in Tishrei, and that, of course, commemorates the creation of Adam and the world. Now, for you deep thinkers and probable nugget searchers like me, always know that after Exodus 12, when reading the scriptures, should you come across a date that says it was in the second month, or it was in the third month, or it was in the fourth month, etc., etc., you need to begin to count from Nisan on the biblical calendar. And if you're reading before Exodus 12, like in Genesis, you would always use the civil calendar or the first calendar that begins in Tishrei. Sounds a little confusing, but once you start using it, you understand it totally. It's kind of like, you know, us, when we sometimes use our born-again date as and our physical date as two different dates, okay? But you see how this information is really very important, especially when it comes to figuring out a certain time, like when Jesus or even John the Baptist was born. That is often miscalculated, with some even teaching that Jesus was born in the spring. And it's basically just due to the lack of this Hebraic roots knowledge about the calendars. I even keep a reference of the numbered months of both calendars that I typed out, taped in the back of my Bible. It's just an easy reference. And let me know if you would like me to send you one, or you can print it out from my webpage, actually. But back to Passover, which we commemorate in just a few weeks. But before Nisan 14 comes, which is Passover, we have Nisan 10. This is the day, according to Exodus 12, that they were to pick a young lamb and examine it thoroughly for 4 days to be sure it was blemish-free and actually perfect in all ways. And the size should be fitting for the family, so there would be nothing left, which is yet another picture that Jesus gave all of himself for us. Like the unblemished lamb, Jesus was sinless. He was young, and he died for all. But why was the lamb examined for 4 days? Well, here's a picture often missed. Jesus rode on the donkey into Jerusalem as prophesied in Zechariah 9:9. And that was 4 days before his death. which would have also been on Nisan 10. Some of us call it Palm Sunday. And we see then that Jesus too was examined by the people in the temple for 4 days. And in John 18, Pilate says, "I find no blemish in him." People, these are the same words that are spoken every year after examining the lamb for 4 days, as was the custom. Typology galore, with approximately 300 scriptural references to Jesus' first coming. And actually, somewhere someone said 1,500 concerning his return. He's coming back. Scripture goes on to say, after examining the lamb for 4 days, then they were to pierce the lamb with a knife at exactly twilight or twixt the evening. Now, Hebraic roots teaches us that this is halfway between the sun from its highest point in the sky, which would be about noon, and the setting of the sun, which would be around 6. So that equals 3 o'clock. Well, Jesus' side was pierced at 3 o'clock or twixt the evening also. Now, since 7 is the number of completion, Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours when his last of 7 famous phrases were spoken. The 6th being, "It is finished," in Greek, tetelestai, which also means paid in full. The same words were given on parchment to all convicts when they had finished serving their time and their debts were paid in full. You see, there is a debt to pay for your sins in hell, unless you accept the free gift that Jesus paid for you and canceled your debt for your sins. Wow. So, the day before Passover, the Jews would remove all leaven from their house. Leaven is a picture of sin, and we'll go into more detail on this next week. But this year's Passover begins April the 3rd on a Friday night at sundown, which also begins the Sabbath. And again, this year is another blood moon, number 3 of a tetrad, which actually means 4. And will be visible to certain areas of the world, but only partially in America, and very early in the morning around 6 a.m. Saturday. But in case you didn't know, a total lunar eclipse occurs when the Earth's shadow blocks all the sun's light from directly reaching the moon's surface, giving the moon a red hue for a short period of time. There have been many singular blood moons throughout history. We know this. But only 8 previous tetrads, all occurring on the first and last of the 7 yearly feasts of Passover and Tabernacles. Passover is the first feast of the year, and Tabernacles is the last. And that's another picture, since Jesus is the first and the last. So to sum it up, a tetrad is 4 blood moons, 2 in 1 year, and then a matching 2 the next year on the same dates on the lunar Hebrew calendar of Nisan 14, which again is Passover, and then Tishri 15, which is the first day of Tabernacles, which just happens to be Jesus' real birthday. And it's not December 25th, and I've talked about that many times, and if you want to review it again, it's on my webpage, and again, all the radio programs are archived as well, and you can just go and listen to them. They're all labeled, but there's a wealth of information there, a lot of teaching. But I believe that the Feast of Tabernacles will also be the future event to usher in the millennial kingdom on earth. Yes, indeed. Now, looking back at history, we do see that when these feast day tetrads occur, a significant event takes place in history. Some more outstanding and well-known than others, but there was, according to NASA at least, a tetrad at the time of Jesus' death. Yes, Passover and Tabernacles the year before he died, and Passover and Tabernacles the same year he died, as well as a solar eclipse, as we know from Scripture, between noon until 3 o'clock, and that's when his side was pierced. Again, the same time that they would have been piercing the lamb in the temple. So it's just amazing how many pictures the feast days have. It's mind-boggling if you really sit down and look at it. But also, a solar eclipse is scheduled to occur this coming Friday. And on Israel's biblical new year, yes, it's Nisan 1. So that's their religious calendar. And Nisan 1 now is their new year for that. It's their, like, their spiritual new year. And that actually begins at sundown Friday. So, I don't know. There's a lot of things going on, and certainly enough to get excited about. By the way, if you want the chart of all the previous Blood Moon Tetrads, you can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll be sure to send it to you. You can also get it from our webpage. Just go to the front page and scroll down not too far, and you'll see a link that you can just click on, and it'll bring it right up, and you can print it out. It's pretty fascinating, actually, to be able to see all of them from the time of Jesus till now. And this, again, will be the ninth one. So, and a lot of people are saying that some big event is probably going to happen, particularly affecting Israel, and perhaps here as well. Maybe a major war. Perhaps Psalm 83, a weather catastrophe, and a slew of other possibilities. I mean, with this ISIS thing happening and getting closer to Israel, Psalm 83 does talk about how Israel will be able to expand its borders and get rid of its neighbors all around Israel. So that's pretty exciting, because that means then they will have more room to bring in all the rest of the Jews that still have to make Aliyah. You know, he said he would bring them home from the north, south, east, and west. And I believe what he says. But we still have a lot of Jews here in America, close to 5 million. Something has to happen to bring them home to Israel. I don't know, some people say it might be a rise in anti-Semitism. That's starting to happen as well. I don't know, but I think these blood moons and the solar eclipses, I believe they're signs from God. I mean, in Genesis 1:14, he says, not only do I give you these constellations for lights, I give them to you as signs or for signals. So, the main thing is, the major question, how well do you know him? Jesus, your Savior, who has paid your debt? Oh, maybe you'd rather pay it yourself? Well, it's your choice. Choose Jesus. Just get on your knees, confess your sins. I always say get on your knees because it's humbling. And speak to the Lord. Tell him you're tired of this old life and you want to be born again, a brand new life. And then invite him into your heart. It's really not difficult to do. And then find a good Bible-believing church that preaches the Bible, hopefully word by word, is what I think is the best, but they're hard to find, I know. But make sure you study the Word of God, because that's your personal relationship. And if you want him to grow in you, then you've got to be in his word, because he is the word. It's as simple as that. And if you want power to overcome the enemy, because we really need it in these days, then you need to be in the word to have that power. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai Panav Eleka Viuneka. Yasa Adonai Panav Eleka Viyasem Taha Shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, most of your translations leave the word will out of there and just say the Lord bless you and keep you. But when I looked in the original, the word will is definitely there. So the Lord will bless you, and you should know that. God bless you, and I'll see you next week, and we'll talk about this election in Israel. Till then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And it's not a maybe. And that's, of course, Psalm 122:6. So till next week, have a good week, and praise the Lord.